Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, March 31st. Coming up, we'll learn how Midwest light pollution is killing migrating birds and how people can help avoid that. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Severe storms caused damage in Champaign, Coles, and Vermilion counties yesterday afternoon. That includes in Tolono, where a storage outbuilding for the organization Illinois Foundation Seeds in Tolono collapsed. In Sydney, Keith Hovland came home to a huge tree knocked down in his front yard.
Just half our tree is down, half our magnolia tree is down, so we're just trying to clean up from it.
Trees also fell on structures in Danville and west of Charleston. Some power poles were snapped in half. The Illinois State Police closed parts of I-57 for some time yesterday because of multiple crashes. National Weather Service meteorologists will inspect the damage to determine whether it was caused by tornadoes or straight-line winds. Critics of the Trump administration held a loud protest over the weekend in Urbana. IPM student reporter Mary Piacente was there.
Drivers honked as they passed by hundreds of protesters standing in front of the Champaign County Courthouse, holding signs that read, "Never appease fascism" or "Stand up for democracy." The Champaign-Urbana resistance effort organized the rally. Demonstrators condemned the Trump administration's deportations of undocumented immigrants, as well as the closures instituted by Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency. Organizer Bob Hughes says that protesters are mostly older locals.
We just want to make it clear that this is not what we've lived and fought for our last 50 years of our lives.
Trump's policies have already made an impact in central Illinois. At the U of I, the administration recently closed the Soybean Innovation Lab, which oversaw research into developing soybean production in African countries. 30 employees were laid off as a result. Mary Piacenti, IPM News.
$53 million in federal funding for Illinois health programs was canceled by the Trump administration. The previously approved grants were aimed at mental health, substance abuse, and infectious disease prevention. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Samir Vohra says those funds would help prepare the state for public health emergencies.
But there's only so much that one state can do when you have these funding cuts that come from the federal level, cuts that hurt the states and then hurt our ability as the state to provide this money to our local communities.
The IDPH says the Trump administration is also blocking $324 million in funding for future infectious disease work. The Fighting Illini baseball team won their first series against a Big Ten Conference opponent over the weekend. As IPM's Colin Highslope reports, they beat Michigan State in 2 out of 3 games.
The Illinois offense was excellent again in the doubleheader on Friday, scoring a combined 19 runs, which was enough to win both games. The team struggled on both sides of the ball in Saturday's game, as they fell 14-4. Sophomore right fielder Colin Jennings helped lead the team in the first two wins by smacking 5 hits, including 2 doubles and a home run. Illinois now has an overall record of 14-11 and are 4-5 against Big Ten Conference opponents. The Illini will host Illinois State next in Champaign on Tuesday at 6 p.m. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn how Midwest light pollution is killing migrating birds and how people can help avoid that. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, cloudy and cooler with a high of 52 degrees and a northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 30 degrees, northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 55 degrees, an east wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a low of 48 degrees, southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, partly cloudy and breezy with thunderstorms likely and a high of 75 degrees. A few storms could become severe on Wednesday, with a south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, of the many different groups President Trump has targeted in the early days of his second administration, there seems to be a particular enmity for people who are trans. Given that Monday is the annual Trans Day of Visibility, we'll talk with some of our fellow Illinoisans about how it's been for them. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Buildings and light pollution will take a heavy toll on migrating birds this spring, particularly in the middle of the continent. But one especially deadly building in Chicago offers lessons on how Midwest residents can help more birds survive the journey. Harvest Public Media contributor Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
In 1978, David Willard was working at the Field Museum in Chicago when someone mentioned to him that birds kept slamming into the city's lakeside convention center, McCormick Place.
And it piqued my interest.
So he started checking for dead birds and realized McCormick was killing a lot of them.
It's not a building that I think anybody, when it was built, would predict would be a major bird killer.
It's not that tall, about three stories, he says, where the migrating birds tend to strike it in the spring and fall while flying along Lake Michigan.
But it is right on the lake and has a massive amount of glass.
Over the next 40 years, Willard and others from the Field Museum collected 40,000 birds there. They noted how many died when the building's lights were on versus off.
When lights were out, it was a dramatic reduction in the numbers that would be killed.
Most migrating birds fly in the dark, and it has been known for decades that artificial lights confuse them. But the research at McCormick quantifies the problem. When the building's windows were all lit up, bird deaths rose tenfold compared to when just half the windows were lit up. Countrywide, the latest estimates suggest that 1 billion birds die annually by colliding with human-made structures.
And so that's like a bird every 30 seconds.
Andrew Farnsworth is a visiting scientist at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Cornell research shows that as spring gets underway, 7 of the country's top 10 riskiest cities for migrating birds are in the middle of the country, like Dallas, Kansas City, and Chicago. Farnsworth says these cities lie along one of the most important migration corridors on the planet.
There is an incredible, you know, tailwind scenario because of the way the Gulf of Mexico is positioned.
So light pollution on this route is especially problematic. Many confused birds slam into lit buildings. Others land in bright cities and wait for daytime. Many of these then hit windows because they see reflections of the sky or greenery. But buildings can be made safer for birds. Take McCormick Place in Chicago. Here's Willard again.
In the past, we would watch them fly straight into the window and drop.
But now,
we'd watch them fly in and veer.
Last summer, McCormick installed clear film with white dots every few inches at a cost of $1.2 million to cover 2 football fields worth of windows. When the next fall migration came, researchers found just 18 birds hit the treated glass, a 95% decrease. Willard is eager to see if this trend holds up in the spring. There are other ways to help, too. Shutting off nighttime facade lighting and unneeded office lights during peak migration season. These lights out programs are growing in the middle of the country. And Farnsworth at Cornell says you do not need to own a big building to help.
The notion that the problem is just in cities is wrong. Your kitchen window, your living room window, your glass door, whatever it is when you walk outside and you find a dead bird beneath glass, you can address that.
For example, by turning off extra lights at home or drawing your curtains at night or treating your windows. How to get started?
Frankly, the easiest thing, visiting American Bird Conservancy's website.
abcbirds.org. It explains lots of options. Good old window screens, subtle vertical cords, translucent tape stripes. These all help birds see glass and know it's a solid thing they should not approach. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
This story was produced as part of the podcast Up From Dust from the Kansas News Service. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Mary Piacente, Isabella Nieto, Colin Hyslop, and Celia Yopis Jepson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.